I tell you what, before we dismiss kids, y'all want to stay for just a second? Let me look at you for a second. I was praying for y'all this morning. I wanted to see who I was praying for. I was up here about 6:30 and in the sanctuary, and I was just asking God to be with us today. And this scripture, Psalms 26 and verse 6, I'm going to read it in the ESV, which is on my phone rather than in my Bible. I just loved it this morning. Verse 6 said, "I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar." So David was saying, I'm going to come to your house, Lord. And this is what he says he's going to do when he gets to his house. He says, "I'm going to go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds." He said when he came to church, he wanted to physically out loud say thank you for something that you're doing for me, God, or praising God for something he has done for him. I wanted to give us an opportunity this morning. Kids, you guys are adults, we're just going to take a few minutes, and I'm going to open it up to anybody that would like to stand and just say, I thank God for, or God, thank you for doing this for me. Whatever it is that God kind of leads you. Now, you're not telling us, you're thanking God, so you don't have to go into a long spiel about it. God already knows. But if there's something on your heart you would like to stand and say, thank you, God, for, I'm going to open up that opportunity as a prayer for us. Let me pray, and then we'll start. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we do thank you today for all the things you've done for us this week. God, as your body gathers here, Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit will raise up in some people some praise for you, for your mighty works. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'll start. God, I am thankful for you bringing that homeless young man to our church this week that I got to spend some time with. How about y'all? What are you thankful for? Oh, thank you, yeah. For, yes. Thank you, God, for everything. Amen.
I thank God for my wife who loves me even though I'm mean.
That's a big one. Okay. Should have saved that for last. Who else? Who wants to thank or praise God? Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Who else? God gave you that opportunity. Amen. Amen. Woo. Yeah, that's a clapping one. Who else wants to praise God? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Miss Lenora has had a lot of health trouble, so when you say thank you for my life, you're being serious. Amen. Who else has something they want to thank? Yes, up there at the top. Yeah, Andre. Amen. We have a church and we can praise the Lord. Who else has something? Yes, ma'am. Pray. Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. Back row. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah. I like him too. Thank you, baby. And earlier I meant to say, and my wife and the homeless guy, both of them. Who else? Who has a thing? Yes, ma'am. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else want to share? Yes, ma'am. Is Eddie right? Oh, wait. Where was that at? Oh, William. Yeah, go ahead. Thank you. Thank you, Eddie Ray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, Chloe, yeah. Thank you for worship. Yeah, amen. Who's got one? Balcony all the way up there. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Oh, yes, ma'am. I love that. Thank you for our church family. All right, if I'm not seeing somebody, just stand up. Who else has one they want to do? Go ahead. All right, Jonah. Real mom, real dad, and robot mom and dad. Okay, we got it. Yeah, Travis. Hey, extra. There we go. 12 years old. That's impressive. That's one more year, and we all call that preteen. You're now a preteen. All right, anybody else? Anybody else have a praise or a thank you?
I have one more thing.
Yes, ma'am, Lenore.
Thank God for friends like Lavelle, who took me to that wonderful prayer service that we had at Gateway Church.
Oh, yeah, for godly friends. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody? Yes, Jack. Amen. Thank you, Jack. Amen. Yeah, Kathy. Save people, serve people. Thank you for everybody that served today. Amen. Donald. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. For his peace. Peace beyond understanding. We all need it. Anybody else? Awesome. Let's pray one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, God, just thank you. Your word says that our praise and thanksgiving goes up as a fragrant offering to you. So, God, during that time of offering, God, just thank you for our church and our families. God, just let us continually praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to dismiss kids to children's church. I'm going to grab my table and chairs because today's going to be just a little bit different. Instead of preaching today, I'm going to do just a little bit of sharing about what's going on in my life and a challenge for the church. And so it won't be so much 3 points and a prayer. And we'll get back into 1 Peter next week when Eric's going to be leading next week. I'll be at a prayer retreat. But let's talk about that. I guess it's been September, October, November, December, 5 months ago now. I had a thing happen in my life that... I just said, man, I need to get away for just a little while. I took a fasting and prayer retreat here in town. It was during the day. I would fast and I was praying. And really my main thing was this church. And I said, God, what do you want to do in this church? Because I'm kind of lost. Kind of lost on where we need to go, what we need to do. And over those 3 days, as I entered into going, how do you even do a 3-day prayer and fasting retreat? And I'm Googling how to, you know, different ways to pray and stuff like that. I'm reading, I read John Cimbala's book on prayer that those 3 days. I was just reading and reading and reading and praying. And suddenly God just said, what you're doing is what I want. I want Waller Baptist Church to be a church of prayer. Now, as a pastor, I kind of go, well, yeah, God, we pray, right? We pray. I pray, you pray. We have prayer times leading up to Easter. Every service we have a prayer time before offering. In Sunday school, we do a prayer list where we pray for people. And I'm going, God, what do you mean you want our church to be a church of prayer? And so I started just trying to find everything I could find just on prayer, especially corporate prayer. How do we pray as a church? And over the next few days, God just kept on. You know, I came back from that, and I told everybody. I said, we're going to be a church of prayer. We're going to be a church of prayer. And you can ask Jerry and Travis and all that. You know, I'm on the phone. I'm going, how is men's ministry going to be a men's ministry of prayer? How is, you know, we need a prayer calendar. We need to do prayer houses. We need to get a prayer seminar going on around here. And as I just got more and more into it, here's what I heard God said. No. Not quantity of prayer. Quality of prayer is what I want. And I said, well, what does that mean? What is the quality of prayer that God wants? Because it seems like we have at times a quantity of prayer. We've got a lot of prayer going on all over the place. But what about the quality? And so as I dove even deeper into that and trying to get a good understanding of what prayer is God talking about, I found two guys that as I listened to them and read some of their books, I said, okay, this is it. This gives me some structure. One guy is named Dan Henderson, and he is he runs a group called Strategic Renewal, and he's all about corporate prayer, how the church as a whole can get together and have dynamic and strong and prayer like you see in Acts, where the people of the church just got together and prayed. And in fact, this Wednesday, me and 10 people from our church are flying to something called a prayer summit retreat in California, where Dan Henderson's going to be leading that. And so, loving what I'm learning from Dan. But the other guy that I found, his name is Don Whitney. Don Whitney. He's a professor at a Southern Seminary. So this is up, Kentucky, Louisville, isn't that where Southern is? I'm pretty sure. But he's a professor of spiritual life is what his actual title is. And his classes he teaches at the seminary are not to teach seminary students how to preach or how to study the word, but to have a strong spiritual life that they can pass on to their congregations. And as I listen to Don, instead of him talking about corporate worship, he started talking about individual worship. And as I listened to how he taught his students, and he's a nationwide speaker traveling, going around doing these seminars on prayer, I just said, wow, I think that's it. God, I think what he is saying is what I need to apply in my life to have foundational, strong prayer. And it's what I need to teach my congregation. So in that picture, here's what's going to happen this year at Waller Baptist Church. This year at Waller Baptist Church, me and the leadership are going to work as hard as we can to figure out how to bring our church to be a vibrant church of prayer corporately. But individually, I want to challenge you with what we're going to teach today. Let me start with this scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-19. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-19 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we have this verse here where it says, in some versions, pray without ceasing, right? Continual prayer. Now, you can read that a couple of different ways. You can read it as you always need to be in the spirit of prayer, and I think that's a fine way to interpret that. But this also, it's that thought of never give up in prayer. Never give up in prayer. Continually pray. Pray today, pray tomorrow, pray the next day. Continually pray. Now, the problem with that, though, is that so many Christians have either a weak prayer life or no prayer life at all? I'm not going to ask to raise your hands. I know I've got some prayer warriors in here. I know I've got some people in here that pray daily, pray all the time. And so I'm not going to say that. But I'm going to say, and we've talked about it before, that so many of us, we want to have a good prayer life. But something happens. There's a universal problem, almost universal problem, with prayer. And like I said, I'm getting this teaching from Don Whitney, but I'm going to put it in my own words. And here's the most universal problem with why I sometimes don't have a strong prayer life, probably why you don't have a strong prayer life sometimes. Here's the problem. Tell me if this is true or not. We pray about the same old things in the same old way every day. Let me say it again. Most Christians pray about the same old things, and they pray about it in the same old way every day, the same way. If you did something the same way every day, day after day after day after day, what would that thing become? Boring. Yeah, if you watch the same TV show every day, it could be your favorite TV show. But you watch it the same way, the same thing, every day, every day, every day. At a point, it becomes boring. Could the universal truth of why we don't pray is that we get in there, and if we're just honest, we say, God, I want to pray, but this is kind of boring. I prayed for my wife and my kids and my job and my finances and my church and my work and my pastor. I prayed for them all. I've got a list of them. And I prayed it yesterday. And then I'm going to pray it again tomorrow. And I'm going to pray it again the next day. And I'm going to pray it, and I'm going to pray it, and I'm going to pray it. And God, just to be honest, I'm bored with that. How do you not become bored with prayer? Could there be a way where our prayer life could be something that every day it's something new and something fresh? How would you do that? Well, let's just kind of go point by point. First, how many here, and we'll raise our hand on this, how many here would really like to have a strong prayer life? Is that pretty much everybody? I think so. I think we all desire that. In fact, you know, I'll go as far to say, if you have the Holy Spirit within you, and we believe as a Christian, when you're saved, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit desires for you to pray. And the Holy Spirit is urging you from within to pray. If we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says this. 8:15 says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him, by the Spirit, and by the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. It said, if you've got the Holy Spirit inside you, here's something the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit is encouraging you to cry out to your Heavenly Father. He's encouraging you to have a conversation with God. He's encouraging you to bring your needs to God. That is part of being a Christian, is that you have the Holy Spirit inside you, and the Holy Spirit is pushing you to do that. So we can say with this, fact number one is that we all desire to pray. The problem is as this desire to pray comes into this collision course with our experience with prayer. You know, our experience with prayer is what we were talking about. We pray the same old things in the same old way, and prayer is boring. So on one hand, I've got the Spirit saying, pray, pray, pray. On the other hand, I'm going, man, I've tried that before, right? Here's a thought that might come to your mind. I must be a secondhand Christian. I've seen, how many have y'all seen prayer warriors before? Y'all have experience with what I say when I say prayer warriors? There are some people that can just pray. It's a spiritual gift. I get that some of y'all here in this room are that way, but some of us that may not be spiritual warriors, when we look at you, we kind of go, well, if that's what I need to be, I've tried it. And I can't do that, God. I can't just keep praying. And those words don't just come to my head. They must be the prayer warriors. And therefore, I'm just not going to pray anymore. Yeah, or I'm just going to try to pray some. Or I'm just going to, if I get up and I can pray, I will pray. There's no urgency to it. I'm not urgently trying to get somewhere where I feel like a failure. Amen? I'm not urgently trying to get somewhere where I feel bored. Sometimes we might go to a prayer conference and we get stirred up. Yeah, I want to pray. And we get all stirred up, and maybe for a week or 2 weeks we pray, and then it gets boring, and then we miss a few days, and we miss a few days, and we miss a few days. I heard about a pastor who said he wanted his church to be a church of prayer. And so he said for a full year, he was going to preach every Sunday, somehow or another, about prayer. He said at the end of that year, his church was actually worse at praying than they were when it started. He said, you know why? He said, because everybody felt so guilty that they weren't praying. That it just made them more guilty, and then they weren't even excited to hear about it anymore. I've heard about that, I fail. I hear about that, I fail. Listen, there's a problem there, right? There's a problem. Now, let's talk about what the problem is. I said we pray the same old things in the same old way. Let's talk about the same old things. Really, if I broke you guys up and said, hey, I want everybody right now to write down what you want to pray about, there's really six different areas, I think we can say, that most people are going to pray about. Three of them starts with F. Family. We're going to pray about our wives, our kids, our grandparents. We're going to pray about family. Number two, our future. You know, God, you know, something in our future. Maybe it's future for our family. Maybe it's something happening way in the future for us that we're just saying, hey, I'm going to be praying towards that. Our finances, right? We're going to be saying, God, you know, this is kind of an area I'm scared about, so I'm going to be praying about our finances. And then there's three others. Our work. You know, we said this a few weeks ago. Work is somewhere we spend most of our time. And of course, there's going to be things at work we're going to be praying about. Maybe people at work, maybe work issues, maybe something that God wants us to move forward in work. Maybe it's changing jobs, you know, something like that. So work. If you're a Christian, you're going to be praying about your church or your ministry. So maybe you're praying about what's going on here. Maybe if you're a Sunday school teacher, you're praying for your Sunday school class. Maybe if you're working Vacation Bible School, you know, you're going to be praying, oh, God, help me do that. You know, maybe it's something out in the community. Maybe you're at the pregnancy center. You know, maybe it's something like that. You'll be praying about church or ministry. And the sixth one is really the big one, your current crisis. Your current crisis. Statistics tell us that most people will go through some kind of crisis every 6 months. Sometimes it feels like every 6 days to me. Y'all ever get that one? But whatever that crisis is, and it might be a friend related or a family related, but you're going to be really drawn to pray for the crisis. So those are the six things. Those are the same things that we pray about over and over again. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Don't change that. Don't change that. That really is our life. I mean, if you really think, what is our life? Family, future, finances, work, ministry, and crisis. That really is the things that you're drawn to pray about and what you should be praying about. So the problem isn't the same things we're praying about. The problem is the same way we're praying about them. We pray the same way about those same problems. You know, if you get up in the morning, you might go, Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for this day. And God, I just want to ask you to be with my wife, be with my daughter, be with, you know, for me, it'd be with Samantha, Sydney, Sarah, and Shay. God, be with our church. God, be with me at work. And after about 3 minutes, you've exhausted your list. And you go, okay, what else do I pray about? And then, like I said, the next day it's the same thing. So it's not what you're praying about, but it's that method that you've started praying. There is a story about a little girl, and every night she would get down on the side of her bed and do the, you know, God is good, and you know, just bless me. What's the one you say before you go to sleep? Oh, I haven't lost it. What is it? That's it. Now I lay me down to sleep. She would pray. I started doing the blessing, didn't I? She didn't bless the bed before. She did the now I lay me down to sleep one. And her dad would go by her room every night, and the door would be closed, and he would hear her in there just praying her little prayer. Well, one day he was walking by there, and it sounded kind of scratchy. And so he opened the door, and she was laying in bed doing something else, and she had a tape recorder right there where she had recorded her prayer and just hit play on it. And her daddy said, why did you do that? She said, well, I'm praying the same prayer every night. I figure if I recorded it, I could do some other stuff while God's listening to my prayer. Now, that's humorous. But do you have a recorded prayer in your head that you say over and over and over again? Do you hit play on your mental prayer every day in the same way over and over again? Pastor Whitney, the one that you know, I'm using all this stuff, great story. He said one day he was at a church fixing to do this prayer this prayer talk to everyone. And he said before that, one of the deacons came up, kind of like we had, and did a prayer for the church, you know, kind of blessing the offering or something. I don't even know what it was. And Dr. Whitney said he was on the front row, and he said as the deacon started praying, he said all of a sudden in the back of his head he started hearing a little echo going. You know, kind of, you know, someone mumbling, but it seemed to be the same words that the guy that was praying was using. And it wasn't like a repeating them. It was at the exact same time as the deacon was praying, someone was behind him saying the exact same words. And so he turned around and he sees the deacon's 5-year-old son. And that son had heard his dad pray so many times, he had his dad's prayer memorized. And so while his dad was up there praying, he just kept repeating it. And I just thought, well, A, is that really the way it is? But then I think, you know, a lot of times our prayers are just little things that we've pushed together, right? You know, we've kind of heard someone before say, you know, God, you know, just hide me behind the cross as I teach today or something like that. We heard somebody say this. We grab that and we go, hey, every time I'm teaching, I'm going to pray, hide me behind the cross, God. It's like we make little beads. You know, God, you know, be with the giver, the gift and the giver. Be with the gift and the giver. There's another bead. Every time I pray for that, I'm going to say, God, hide the pastor behind the cross. Be with the gift and the giver. And then suddenly we string together this prayer. And we don't realize it, but we're just repeating it time after time. And so here's what we got. You really desire to pray. Your experience is that prayer can be boring because you pray the same old things the same old way. We know the same old things are really a good things to pray about. So what's the right way to pray? Are we just to assume that we are the problem? Are we just to assume that God, I just can't pray? So here's what I want to do. First, I want to say this. How to pray must be fundamentally simple. It has to be, right? Because if you think about this, does God want every Christian to pray? Yeah. God, whether they're 9 or 99, God wants them to pray. Whether they're low IQ or high IQ, God wants them to pray. Whether they have money or no money, God wants them to pray. As Christians, y'all realize how privileged we are in America as Christians? I mean, I've got 5-6 Bibles. I've got Christian radio. I got Christian TV. I've got churches on every corner. Have any of y'all been to like one of the Christian bookstores? I mean, you can walk in there and there's Christian books. And if you can't get to a bookstore, you can order any Christian book you want online. It's just amazing. Do you realize there's other people in the world who are Christians that have access to none of that? But in their access to none of that, none of this great teaching or preaching or books, God still fundamentally wants them to pray. So it must be simple. If you can't satisfy your prayer life with everything you've got, how could they even have a chance? If God invites all his children to pray, it must be simple. Here's the last thing I want you to hear before we go into how to do it. God must want you to pray. So therefore, it must be possible for you to have a vibrant prayer life. It must be possible. So, how do you do it? Been waiting for this, been waiting for building the tension. Here we go. Are y'all ready? What's the answer? The answer is to pray the Bible. Now, you might say, Blake, that doesn't sound very life-shattering or life-shaking. Pray the Bible, particularly the Psalms. Now, what does that mean to pray the Bible? The Bible is God's Word. And so, if I get this idea, my prayer with God is supposed to be me doing what? Talking to God, right? Have you ever tried to talk to someone without them talking back to you? That's a pretty crazy kind of thing. What if instead of every morning I get up and I go, "Hey God, let me tell you all the stuff I want," and just start going off on God and telling him everything I want. I instead said, "Hey God, can you tell me what I need today?" And I'm going to talk about those things that you won't think that I need. How would God do that? If God was going to tell you what to pray about today, how would he do that? Well, through his word. Let me give you an example. The 23rd Psalm. 23rd Psalm says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." That's NIV. You know, your version might say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But we'll just go with NIV, what I'm reading here. If I was praying this today, here's how I would do it. I would get up in the morning and I would say, "God, what do you want me to pray about?" I would open to Psalms 23 and I would go, "The Lord is my shepherd. God, thank you for being my shepherd today. God, I want to thank you. I know a shepherd leads, so God, thank you for leading me. God, I know a shepherd protects. Thank you for protecting me. God, I know a shepherd has the best for his flock. God, thank you for having the best for me. And God, I really would appreciate it if my kids knew you as their shepherd. God, I just want to pray that Samantha and Sydney and Sarah and Shay, God, would just see you as their shepherd today. And I might even think about the pastors here at the church and go, you know what? You know, Eric and Joel and John, they're shepherding people. God, for your shepherds, your under-shepherds, God, I want to lift them up to you. And I would just think, what does shepherd bring to mind? And as soon as I get through with that, I just look at the next part. I lack nothing. Or, you know, there's nothing I want. And I might pray like this. God, I know I get so greedy sometimes. You know, I think about my finances. God, I just want more and more and more. God, help me to see that I lack nothing. Help me to see, be thankful for this house I have and the cars I have. While I'm praying for my kids, God, help them to see that they lack nothing because they have you. I'd pray about that for a second. And as soon as stuff stops coming to mind, I go to the next verse. He makes me lay down in green pastures. Now, when I hit that, I might go, lie down. Oh, God. God, I'm tired. And God, I really would like some rest today. And God, I ask right now that you would bring rest in my home. God, I'm going to be up at church later and it's going to get stressful. And God, I'm just going to ask you to bring rest right there. And when I read green pastures, I might think, you know, green pastures, that's where the flock would eat at. And I might start thinking, okay, where am I eating at? Where am I getting my spiritual food? And so I might pray, God, I just want to thank you for that, for those songs that you gave me that I'm listening to. Got those Bible verse songs? Or I might say, God, I want to thank you for a Sunday school teacher, God, that's preparing a lesson for me right now. And I would just start thinking, green pastures, green pastures. As soon as I stopped thinking that, I would go on and read the next one. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he refreshes my soul. And I go, God, who needs refreshing in my life right now? God, is it somebody at church that needs refreshing? God, I'm going to pray for that person right now. I just want to pray that you would somehow or another refresh their soul. God, maybe it's something, you know, in my neighborhood. Maybe it's a name. And names will just come to mind. You know what I do when a name comes to mind while I'm doing this? I just write it down real quick. And I try to say, God, help me contact that person today. Help me contact that person. And as soon as all that's done, I just keep on going. He guides me along the right path for his namesake. Well, that'd be a great one to pray about your future, right? Or a crisis. God, I'm in the middle of something right now financially, and I don't know what to do with my money. But God, your word says that you will lead me in the right path. And God, just help me to make those decisions. I might come back to my kids again. Right now, Samantha's in Mobile, Alabama, and she's going to graduate school at the end of the semester. So, you know, right there, that might be the thing that hits me that morning. You know, God, you got to guide Samantha. You know, she's fixing to have to make a choice on where she's going to go and what she's going to do. Do y'all see how that works? It's not me getting up with my list, doing it my way. I still have my list. If you listened, I was praying for family. I was praying for finances. I was praying for future. I was praying for work. I was praying for church, which is the same thing for me, not for you. I get it. I was praying for church. I was praying about crises that I saw coming. But instead of the same way, I'm having a conversation with God. I'm saying, God, what do you want me to learn today? It's the same thing as we're doing, but we're doing it in a fresh way every morning. How many of you have ever seen someone say, I prayed for an hour? Have you heard anybody do that before? And you just kind of look and go, I could never pray for an hour. Can I tell you with this you can? You really can. This morning, I came up here to the church, and I just took a psalm this morning, that one that we did the thank you for. And I just started, instead of praying for myself, I started praying for our church. And listen, trust me, I've been a 5 to 10 minute prayer most of my life just because I'm ADD. And boy, something will jump into my head and I'm off on a tangent. You know, I'm sitting here praying for Lavelle and suddenly I think, oh, we've got that Ministerial Alliance conference. Oh, I need to get this done. And you know, the next thing I know, I'm way off on a tangent. You know how hard it is to reel an ADD person back in? Oh, it's hard. There's shiny things all the way as you're coming back in. But with this, when I get off, and I still get off, you know, something will still come to mind. I'll say, you know what I do? Go to the next verse. And suddenly, I'm right back in there again. And I prayed for 20 minutes this morning, and it just felt like I could have kept on going. Dr. Whitney said that he challenges his students, in fact, they have to for a grade, to spend 4 hours straight in prayer and Bible study one time during the semester and journal about it. He says after he teaches them to pray the scriptures and he teaches them how to meditate on scriptures, which is something we'll have to talk about some other time. He said what he sees in their journal is that they don't want to stop at 4 hours when they take that challenge because they just spent 4 hours talking to God, taking a scripture, memorizing it, saying, how can I apply this back in my life? So how do you do this? You just start by reading a verse. You just start by, you know, if you get nothing out of the verse, if you get nothing at all out of the verse, do you know what you need to do? Go to the next verse. I mean, that's how simple it is. You read something, go, God, I didn't get anything out of that. Now, you could break it down a little bit. Listen, no other time will I tell you with Scripture to just take words out of context. I just won't do that. When you're teaching, don't ever take a word out of context. When you're preparing something, when you're reading your Bible, don't just take it out of context. But I have this feeling that as I'm reading the scriptures and it says, God marks the days of your life, and suddenly I read Mark and go, I need to pray for my friend Mark. I think that's okay. I think the Holy Spirit and God put the word Mark in front of you that day to pray for Mark. And listen, I think this is biblical because the Bible says, in all things you should. So there's nothing you shouldn't pray about. So if Mark comes up and you want to take a second to pray about Mark, listen, I was doing that one morning. One morning I was reading along and all of a sudden it said God built something, and for some reason builders jumped into mind. And I said, God, how many builders do I know? And I started praying for Joel Schoenvogel and Angie. I started praying for a guy named Marsha Rowland's dad. You remember him? Way back in our very first church. I hadn't thought about him in years. I don't know if he was having an issue that day or not, but I just said, God, be with Mr. Rowland. Now, how many other times when I'm praying the same old thing, the same old way, would I ever pray for Mr. Rowland? He would have never come up. But because God reminded me of builders that day, I prayed for him. What do you do when you get to the imprecatory psalms? Have you ever seen those before? There's the one where David said, God, would you just bash their teeth against the rock? And you know, and some of those psalms are that way. I mean, you just kind of think, okay, you're going to stop in a second, David. And he just keeps going, and he keeps going, and he keeps going. Listen, if you hit one of those, feel free to just skip that psalm. You can skip the whole thing. Or what about this? What about you pray that thing about satanic and demonic influence in people you know and just say, God, bash Satan's mouth against the rock. He's trying to come get me right now. He's ruining my character, God. I want to pray against Satan and his demons. What if God reminded you of that while you were reading one of those? What if he reminded you of sin in your life? Could you pray against sin in your life like that? You know, I'm not saying put a person's name in there, you know, like, you know, God, you know, just really bash their heads. But what if you said, God, I am struggling with gossip. And God, I want you just to bash that gossip's head. You know, something like that. What about national sins? You know, we talked about abortion and other things like that. What if when you hit those imprecatory, you just said, God, I'm going to pray against those things. How often do you do that just in your everyday prayer life? You don't have to pray every verse in here. You don't, like, if you were praying a psalm for the day, I heard about a woman that the Dr. Whitney said he met, and he said, he talked to her, and she said, I used your pray the gospel, you know, I started with the 23rd psalm. He said, well, how did it go? She said, I spent 25 minutes on shepherd. And he said, well, praise the Lord. She said, what do I do? She said, I couldn't finish that chapter. He said, do you think God was upset that you spent 25 minutes thinking about how great a shepherd he was this morning? She said, no. He said, we're not talking legalism. Pray every bit of it. We're just saying, start hearing what God's asking you to pray for. What if you run out of psalms and you say, I want to pray for 30 minutes, and at 15 minutes you've already prayed the whole thing? Here's something really hard to do. Watch this. Go to the next one. Just keep praying. You don't have to pray one psalm. Just allow God to remind you things. How do you pick a psalm? How do you pick a psalm? You're going to get up in the morning and you're going to say, what psalm should I pray today? Here's a way to do it. If you look at how many psalms, there's 150-something psalms in the Bible. If you go every 30 days, basically in one... let me show you how this works. So if today's the 25th, right? Today's the 25th. So 26. So today, I could pray Psalm 26. In fact, earlier when we were doing the Thanksgiving and stuff, that was from Psalms 26. The reason I picked that is because today is the 26th. Now, what if you get to the 26th and go, oh, I don't want to pray that one? Then add 30 to it, and you're going to be at Psalm 56. Psalm 86 is also one you could choose from. Psalms 116 is one you could choose from. And Psalm 146 is one you could choose. There's five psalms for every day of the month. Now you go, Blake, you mean I'm going to be turning through my Bible like this? Hey, there's an app for that. If you go to your app store, either iPhone or Android, and you type in, five psalms. That's it, five psalms. You can download a free app, and on that free app, it's called Five Psalms, and the five psalm just looks like this. It's in fact, I'm on it right now. It's a little handprint. Of course, you can't see this like I'm pointing like you can. You click it, and the Psalms 26 come up, but there's five little files down here, and you can hit Psalm 56, and it jumps over to 56, 86, 116, 146. So here's what you do. In the morning, you get up, and you start with Psalms 26, and you just look at it real quick. Maybe it's going to be one of those crazy ones. And you go, oh, I don't want to pray that one. So you go Psalm 56, and you look over it real quick. Hey, that's pretty good. Let me look at, oh, Psalm 116 is really good. Okay, I'm going with Psalm 116 today. And you just pray that. Well, Blake, what if every month you pray 116 on the, great. I mean, it's been a month since you prayed it, right? You know, and as you're going through each of those psalms and just kind of, you're getting aware, and maybe at some point something's happening in your life where that first word of that second psalm is really going to jump out. So just get that. Get your plus five. Can you use other scriptures? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know something else that prays really easy? The letters. The letters in the New Testament. And they're just so full of stuff that if you grab one of the letters. Now, if you try to pray through like the gospel, the stories. Stories are a little bit harder to pray this way. You kind of have to just read the whole thing and get the main gist and then pray the main gist. But Psalms, man, that was crazy. Do you know Psalms were the songs that they would sing in Israel? And they were made to be sung to God. And so when you're praying a psalm, you're doing really what it's there for. But the letters work really good too. So let's talk real quick. The challenge for you today is this week, and I actually want to make it this month, but especially this week. Take that challenge first. Is to pray a psalm every day this week. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you, sometimes it gets hard, but remember the things that we said. A, let God remind you of what you're saying. You know, let some words pop out. You maybe come in with your six things already there. Maybe have a little list that says family, finances, future, work, church, and crisis. And just have that sitting beside there. And read something and look over and go, oh, which one of these things applies to that verse? And you could do that. Use the five psalm method. Don't get stuck on one of the hard psalms. Maybe have a pen and paper handy. Because what's going to happen, something's going to jump into your mind. If you can just write it down, then it's easy to come back to it. Here's, I think, the best thing. Before you start, approach God with this. Say, God, what do you want to tell me today? Come in with that thought. And as you come in with that thought, as you read it, instead of going, God, here's what I want today, go in with the thought, God, what do you want for me today? And that's going to change a lot of how you pray. Let me finish with this. What does this give you? If you will take this challenge, if you'll say, for this month, I will pray one psalm a day, every day. You don't have to pray it all of it. You might end on verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. It's up to you. One, it'll give you consistency in prayer like you've never had before. You've got a purpose every morning. It's the next psalm. God's going to say something different to me today. There was one day I was praying with the staff, and God just said, pray for children. And I walked into our staff meeting, and I said, God told me to pray for children today from that psalm. And we thought of every kid in the church that was going through a crisis. And we just prayed for him. You see, it gives you that consistency and that excitement. What are you going to tell me to pray for tomorrow, God? Here's something else. When you start doing this, it will influence when you pray for others. When you pray for others. This week, I had the 23rd Psalm this week, right? Because the 23rd was this week. This week alone, as I'm praying with people, and someone just said, you know, it was a funeral situation. You know what I prayed over that family? The 23rd Psalm. I told you earlier about this homeless guy that kind of showed up here, and I gave him a ride downtown to the Star of Hope. And when I was leaving the homeless guy, who that's a whole other story. I'll tell you more about that later. But, you know, I said, can we pray? And for that homeless guy, I said, God, I said, lead him beside still waters. Lead him to green pastures. And boy, it fit. You know, sometimes you kind of go, I don't know. When someone asks me to pray what I should pray, pick up your Bible and pray a psalm for them. That's God, you know. Wedding. We had a wedding this week. I was counseling with the husband and wife, and they said, Blake, can you pray for me? And I said, you know what? That 23rd Psalm would sound really good as we're talking about dwelling in the house of the Lord forever and just that trusting in God. And so I prayed the 23rd Psalm over them, and I was just going, wow, it's amazing how my quiet time in the morning is now affecting how I pray for others. It's great for advice. I was sitting at a table on a field trip with Shay, and I was talking to this other's dad, and this other dad, he had some issues in his life, and his wife wasn't a Christian, and the word that God just kept on coming at to me with the Psalms almost every day was this, my steadfast love. And so I just looked at him, and I said, I want you to remember, God has a steadfast love for you and your wife. And I said, you just keep telling her about Jesus and let God's steadfast love. And I was going, wow, I wouldn't have had that advice. But because every morning I'm not praying the same things the same way, I'm getting God's word and praying God's word. Suddenly it's giving me prayer language. And I'm not talking about tongues. I'm talking about just the ability to talk to people. Relational prayers. I told you, I pray with the staff. We pray through Psalms now when we pray with the staff. Husbands, do you think you should pray with your wife? How many husbands here think you should pray with your wife? Nobody. You should. But the reason it's hard for us to say that is because as husband, we kind of go, I don't know how to pray. She's a better prayer than I am, right? You know, I would feel, I don't know what to pray with my wife. Here's an idea. Why don't you just take a couple of the letters of Paul and say, hey, hon, let's sit down and just pray one of these scriptures together. What about your family? Do you have family quiet times? I always hate those. But what am I going to teach? You know, how am I going to lead a family prayer time? It's going to be boring. What if you just picked a psalm and said, hey, kids, we're going to pray this psalm tonight. You read a verse of it. What does that make you kids think of? Oh, you think about that? Let's pray about that. And what if that was your family prayer time, just going through a psalm? All right, in conclusion, it doesn't have to be the same way, the same thing every day. You could have a vibrant prayer life of praying the Psalms. It's your challenge. What I'm going to do is every night, Dr. Whitney has like a four-minute kind of tells you what psalm to pray the next day, and he points out some things about that. This week, every night, I'm going to post on our Facebook page that little video. So it'll kind of kickstart you. But what it's going to take is you saying, I want to have a vibrant Christian life, prayer life, and I'm going to make this commitment for this next month. Every day, I'm going to pray one psalm. Remember those five psalms of the day? Or you can just do the opening point. It doesn't matter to me. But every day, pray a psalm. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, your word says to test our hearts. You said that this morning in Psalms 26. It just hit me. God, right now I ask you to test our hearts. Your Holy Spirit is there and it is pushing us to pray. And God, I want to pray right now that you test us on this. Help us to make a commitment today. Lord, help us to have a conversation with you. God, help your words just fill. God, you're going to tell us what to pray for. And God, I just ask that you give us the ability to stop during the day and pray. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, if you made that commitment today, during this time of just invitation, just somewhere write it down. Say, I commit to doing it. Like, what if I only have 5 minutes? Take 5 minutes. What if I only have 1 minute one day? You can do a verse in a minute, can't you? There is no excuse for not opening this week and at least praying through one or two verses in Psalm. It might be right before you go into bed. Let's enter into this time. Will you make that commitment? Write it down somewhere. Also, during this time, hey, as always, maybe God is stirring you. Maybe God is just moving in your life and you go, wow, this is something I'm excited about. Maybe you want to make some kind of commitment down front. Maybe you're saying, you know, hey, God, I've never had a daily quiet time, and maybe you want to come down and tell me about it so they'll give you that little bit more oomph. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. We always want to have that as an opportunity today. If you want to know more about how Jesus can forgive you of your sins, this is a time you can come down, and I'd love to tell you about what that means. You might be going, I can talk to God? Yeah, you can talk to God. Maybe today you want to join the church. I don't know what you want to do. We're going to open.